The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, the Clippers are up 12 on the Suns in Game 5, and I couldn't have been more wrong about Paul George. He's got 31 tonight, and he's 3 of 5 from downtown, 8 boards, 5 dimes. I thought tonight would be all Suns, and they'd finish this off and go to the NBA Finals. I think a lot of people thought that. I know a lot of television people thought that in sports, and everybody just thought, you know, this was their chance, and this was – you know, Chris Paul's chance to exercise all the demons of his career and, you know, make it to an NBA Finals. He's had bad luck, bottom line, his whole career. And everybody thought that's the end of that because the Suns are, you know, kicking ass and taking names every single night and blah, blah, blah. And then the Clippers tonight came in and just sucker punched them right in the mouth with, I mean, everybody got involved. I mean, everybody. Even Boogie Cousins is going off. He just had an and-one, and he showed his muscles. And George is doing it. Reggie Jackson's doing it. They're all doing it. And they are literally kicking the Suns' ass right now. So this game's over. I mean, I don't see it. I don't see how the way they've shot the ball and the way they've been in control all night. Like I said once before, and I'll say this again real quickly, they had it within two several times, and every time they got it to two, next thing you know, it was 10 again. They never got over the hump. It was get close and then no cigar. All right, Ed in Columbus, you're on the bench. What's up?
Uncle Wichelli, you the man.
How could I be the man when you're the man? It's impossible.
Come on, come on. You're so kind to me. I'm going to talk some Euro, maybe some Copa America if you'll allow me. My Yankees are terrible. I don't want to talk about them. But who do you like? What great games we had today in that Euro, right? France and Switzerland, and we had Croatia, Spain. Come on. And my follow-up question is, do you think Ecuador, my beloved Ecuador, has a chance against Argentina? Who do you like winning the Euros? A two-part question.
Well, I have not watched the Copa. I know that, again, Messi's trying to do something with Argentina that he never seems to be able to do. They never get it done in these internationals. And everybody wants him to do it in this Copa. That would be great. I hope it happens for his sake. The guy's brilliant. But I have not watched the Copa at all. I have watched, with great joy, I've watched the Euros. I think they've been unbelievable. And I thought the games today were as good as it gets. I thought the Spain game, when they blew that lead and Croatia tied it in the 90th minute, sent it into extra time, I thought that was crazy. And the way Spain scored goals, that fourth goal that they scored, I thought from, in close, it was the Morata goal at the 100-minute mark in extra time. I thought that was unbelievable. And then they added another one after that. But I thought that game was crazy. To see 8 goals in that game was insane. And then, who would have thunk it that France would be down 1-0 and then go up 2-1, then go up 3-1, and then blow that lead. And with 10 seconds left, whatever it was, that the Swiss tied it. That's just crazy as well. and then nothing after two 15-minute extra times, and then the PKs, and then to see Mbappe get stopped and stoned like that on the last shot, and the guy Summers made the save, it was incredible. And, you know, I think a lot of people, first of all, I want to welcome our radio affiliates, Sirius XM Channel 204, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, and Sports Map, Sports Byline, and Armed Forces Radio. It's Pharrell and the Bench with Mafia. So, you know, to see him miss and to see Summers make that save and to see Switzerland beat them, the world champs, France, who, you know, are completely loaded and dangerous. What a great team they are. And to see them lose to the Swiss when they were up 3-1, that is crazy. Absolutely crazy. Now, I've watched all the games, you know, Belgium beating Portugal, the Czechs beat Netherlands, and Netherlands was down to 10 men. Italy in extra time, I think they've been incredible. Denmark kicked Wales' ass. So I watched all the games, and I watched the tournament from the jump, and I've enjoyed it. To me, you know, when I'm watching the Euros, I just pretend like it's the World Cup. I just convince myself in my head that it's just the World Cup, and it's as good as it gets. The games are as good as it gets. The fact that they're, you know, now they're playing knockout, you lose, you're done. The games are stressful. They're insane. The crowds are insane. I do want to mention again, because I'm that way, the Croatian hotties that they had at that game today. I've never seen anything like that before. I mean, they showed so many shots of these hot chicks. And I said today on Coast to Coast, it was like they imported them or something. Maybe they hired them to go to the game. They bought them. Who knows? I don't know where they found them, but they were all 6 foot and smoking hot. I was like, what is happening here at this soccer game? I go, the women from Croatia. I was like, what is going on? It was insane. And it was better than the game. And the game was insane. So the crowds are great. They're rowdy. They're drunk. They're screaming, yelling, singing. I mean, it's just like the greatest. The World Cup and the Euros, it does not get better than that in sports. At least not in America, it doesn't.
These days, it's hard to find something you can trust. Your car?
Yeah, right.
Trust takes time. And that's why we're here.
24 hours a day.
7 days a week. We are your trusted source for gaming, odds,
and more.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Anyway, Pharrell on the Bench, so the Suns are trying to come back in this game, and they're, you know, playing defense finally. They didn't play any the whole game. They're playing defense now, though, and they're trying to get back in this thing. And it looks like, I don't know if they, I think they called the and one right there on the Johnson layup. They're still down five. And he's at the line trying to make the free throw. He's got 13 in the game. But like I said, every time they get close, like they'll get within, you know, two several times, and every time they got stretched again by the Clippers. Every time they got close. So now they're within four, and I think they just called another foul on the Clippers after the Cam Johnson free throw that he made. And it's on George for throwing a player to the ground. Torrey Craig, he threw to the ground. And that's a foul. You can't even argue it. But I won't deny that PG's having a great game. He's just lighting it up. The crowds are rowdy now, and they're going crazy. I mean, I don't know. It's funny. You can say all you want about the Euros or the World Cup, whatever, but you can't even compare. Like, at least I'm straight up about it. The fans of that, you know, Euros, the European, you know, fanatical fans of their teams. I mean, I've seen, like, the, you know, teams, whatever, that took over, like, these cities. I mean, they take them over. There's just hundreds of thousands of them show up to cheer on their team, and they march through the streets, and they just literally take over the city. I mean, you can't even drive a car. They just take over the streets. They march, and there's 50, 60,000 of them in this parade of people, the sea of humanity. It's so unbelievable, the fans. And you know, there's only so many that get into the stadiums for the games. And then if you watch those games, you see how crazy they are. I mean, they're off the hook. They're absolutely screaming, yelling, singing, waving flags. You name it. They have signs. They have everything. It's the most radical fans I've ever seen in my life of any kind. Like, you watch these NBA games and they're, you know, screaming and cheering, fair enough. But that doesn't cut it with those European soccer fans. That, I mean, screaming and yelling, that's just walking up to the stadium, screaming and yelling. When they get in there, they take it to a whole new level of fandom. Like, I've never seen anything like it. Really, in any sport, Mafi, have you ever seen anything like that, those fans? Like, what sport and where is it rowdier than that World Cup and Euros, those soccer games? You can't tell me there's fans like that anywhere. In what sport? I want to know which one it is.
No, there isn't. It doesn't matter what you're talking about, whether it's, you know, college football, NFL, basketball, and there just isn't, because, you know, we talked about that last week. I forget what we're talking about. They talked about kind of like the Islander fans and how they're somewhat close to, you know, the soccer hooligans, but not even to that level. But, I mean, when you're making up like songs about every player on the team that you sing, you know, in unison at certain points of the game, or, you know, you've seen how many times we've seen games where, like, there's some whack job in the crowd in the stadium with, like, road flares, you know, that he's shooting off as they're playing the game. Like, these people are crazy. They're listening, you know, knives and, you know, bats and stuff in there to fight. They're nuts over there. It's crazy.
So I went to the Olympics in Athens, and there was all that going on. I went to the soccer and with my dad, and there were people setting off flares, you know, in the crowd. And I was like, and fires and stuff. I was like, what is happening here? This is craziness. I had never experienced that before. You know, the flares and the smoke bombs and stuff like that. It's just like, you're not accustomed to that here. And people think here that, like, you go to a college football game at the Big House, or, you know, the biggest spots in college football, Tuscaloosa, you know, Bryant Denny, all of them. It doesn't matter. Neyland Stadium, Kyle Field, the Horseshoe in Columbus, you know, wherever. You name it. Outson Stadium in Eugene. You can talk Norman, you know, wherever. Lincoln, it doesn't matter. Like, Gainesville, the Swamp, you know, Tallahassee when they're good. You know, Doak Campbell was always rocking when Florida State was great. I mean, there's just no getting around it. I hate them. I'm a Canes fan, but they're, you know, they, and back in the day, the Orange Bowl was great too. It was incredible in Coral Gables, but I think they ruined it when they tore it down and moved them over to the, you know, basically to the Dolphins and Marlins Stadium. It's had so many name changes, I can't keep up with it. It's Hard Rock now, but it was never like the Orange Bowl. It wasn't as good as the Orange Bowl. But there's, you know, I've been to every college football game in the world, the Rose Bowl. I've been to all of them. And I've never actually seen anything that compares to those soccer crowds in Europe and in the World Cup. I mean, the World Cup's even at another level than the Euros. It's at a completely different level altogether. I mean, it's just crazy. So, Mafia, you never talked to me. I mean, today you did, but not enough time about this whole thing. I saw the fallout from the you know, Nagano's not happy about this Cyril Gane and Derek Lewis interim belt that they're gonna fight in August for an interim heavyweight belt. The first thing I said to you today on Coast to Coast was, you know, I saw the story and I'm like, what in the hell is this about? Like, this makes no sense to me. Like, what are you doing? You already have a champ. He's right there. I thought he was fighting Lewis. Then I thought, well, maybe he's fighting Jones. And instead, they couldn't get him to fight. So they decided to have Gon and this guy Lewis fight for an interim heavyweight belt. And I know Nagano's not happy.
No, and he shouldn't be. I mean, the time he had to wait to fight for that title against Miocic because of, you know, the whole Cormier-Miocic trilogy, or, you know, Miocic taking time to heal and stuff after his fight with Cormier in the third one. Or even the fact that, you know, how long did it take Dana White to come to terms with Khabib, you know, actually being retired and create a new lightweight champ? You know, what, it take like 9 months for that? And this guy just got it 3 months ago, and because he wanted a little more bigger payday, or because he didn't want to fight right away when you wanted to, you say, all right, well, we're going to make another belt, and then you have to fight them. I mean, they're not stripping him, but still, it's ridiculous to have this interim belt. You do that when someone's hurt and they're out for like a year, or you have some kind of long-term battle with them where, you know, they just, no matter what you do, they will not fight. Then maybe you create another belt just because, you know, you want to help the division move along. But there's no reason for this. And the one who gets really screwed in this is not even Nagano. It's Derek Lewis. Because now Derek Lewis has to go fight, instead of fighting for the real belt against Nagano and getting a whole buntload of money for that, I'm sure.
Right.
He has to fight Ciryl Gane, which is going to be a much smaller payday for an interim belt that he's probably not going to even win. And then guess what? He gets knocked back down the mountain and doesn't get a shot at the real title, because after Gane, he'll have, you know, John Jones. And who knows how long, you know, how many fights he'll need after that to get back to possibly fighting Nagano, who he beat the first time they fought. It's just ridiculous the way that they're doing this, because, you know, it's not going his way with Jones. And then now it's not going his way with Nagano. So Dana says, you know what? I'm going to make up my own rules.
So what about, so you think, so, well, when we come back, you have to tell me if, because you just basically said that you think Lewis is going to lose to Gon. So you think he's going to lose that fight no matter what, it sounds like. So I want to get your reasoning why that's going to happen. Like, he can't handle Ciryl Gon. Now all of a sudden Ciryl Gon's some kind of badass out of nowhere because he won some fight night fight over Volkov. It's Pharrell on a Bench.
My buddy's a fan of yours in Vancouver, Canada, so he hears you crystal clear. I thought I'd let you know that.
Time after time, I sit and I wait for your call.
Anyway, Mafia, it's not like I care or anything. Like, it's not like I'm losing sleep over it. But why do you think, because I don't know Ciryl Gane from Ciryl Wecht, who was a grateful, he was the guy that did autopsies. Remember that guy, Ciryl Wecht? He was the legendary guy that did autopsies in Pittsburgh, legend. He did all kinds of, and he did stuff for the FBI. He did, like, you know, bodies and stuff and would find out why they got murdered. He was on all those shows, those murder mystery shows back in the day when they, you know, they run them on ID now for forever with like everyone that gets murdered. That guy would come in and do the autopsy. So anyway, why do you think that guy's, so you think Lewis is going to go lose that fight?
Yeah, I think he's going to lose that fight. I'm not saying that he can't win it. I think this is a, you know, like when we talk about Wilder and Fury, you know, you got that kind of pop in your fist. And that's worked for Lewis many times. You know, Volkov, who Gon just beat, was pummeling Lewis for four rounds, picking him apart from the outside. 10 seconds left, Lewis catches him, drops him in the fifth, you know, the fifth round. That's it. You know, Curtis Blaydes, who I was picking to beat Lewis because of the wrestling, he kept him up, you know, avoided the takedown, popped him, finished him. He has that kind of one-punch power. So he could definitely win the fight. But I would say that Ciryl Gane is the better fighter. He's quicker. He's more athletic. And if he fights smart and keeps him on the outside, just tries to, you know, do what he did to Volkov, like keeping his distance, getting, you know, quick strikes in there and getting out, he's not going to take the chances against Derek Lewis. I don't think to give him the opportunity. I think he's too quick to get out of there before Lewis can get his hands on him truly. So I'm rooting for Lewis. I love the Black Beast. He's one of the most entertaining fighters in the UFC, not just the way he fights, but when you put a mic in front of that guy, he's awesome. He's gold. And I like him way better than Ciryl Gane. Ciryl Gane's been boring to me for the most part of his career. But, you know, the way they're setting this up is so Ciryl Gane wins and moves on and fights Ngannou.
So let me just say right now, it's Clippers by 12 with 3 minutes left. This game's over. I mean, they keep trying to come back, and they've gotten down to five and two. I've said this how many times tonight have I said this to you, that they were down two, at least three or four times. They were down three or four times, down five, three or four times. Now they're down 12, and there's 3 minutes left. They're losing this game. So I guess, you know, bottom line is they're going back to L.A. for game six. Can you believe, honestly, I can't even believe, because I hit the Lightning tonight, boom. I bet on the Lightning. I bet on the Suns. I can't believe the Suns tonight with a chance to go to the NBA Finals in their home floor, in their building, in the Valley, in front of their rowdy fans, that they got their ass beat tonight by the Clippers. I can't even believe it. Like, that they didn't show up for game five, and they're getting their ass beat, and now they got to go to L.A. and play game six, where, as you know, now anything's possible. I mean, why can't the Clippers win game six and force game seven back in Phoenix? Now, do I think – I'm going to ask you, Mafia, do you think that they can win game six and then force another one back in the Valley? But there's still no way I believe that they're going back to the Valley and beating them again.
I absolutely agree on that point. I think that even if they could force a game seven, I know game seven is anybody's game and all that, but the energy that they're going to have to, you know, put out there to win this game, to go home, win the next one, I just don't think there's enough in the tank to go win a game seven as well on the road. And, you know, it's been a pretty hostile environment. The Phoenix fans have been crazy. They've been awesome for the Suns this year, and they've been a big boost for them. I think at some point, you know, that Phoenix will kick it back into gear. Ayton had a terrible game today. I think Paul George having the incredible game he has and Ayton having the terrible game he has is why we're sitting where we are. I think this would be a much closer game, a much better game, if Ayton, you know, was much more the player that we saw earlier in the series, well, through the whole series, not even earlier in the series. He's been a badass down low the whole time. They have, like, no points in the paint tonight, Phoenix Suns. So they need Ayton to get his stuff back together, because while the other guys aren't shooting great, they're still putting up points in Chris Paul and Booker. Ayton was not holding up his end of the bargain tonight.
I mean, Ayton was terrible. He had 10 and 10, and that's terrible for him with some of the games he's had with 22 rebounds. He was non-existent tonight, invisible, and he did nothing. And this game's over, and George has 41 points and has absolutely gone off, including 15 of 20 from the floor, which is, I mean, just dazzling performance shooting the rock. And there's 2.5 minutes to go, and they are just kicking ass and taking names. And, you know, it's over. So now they go home for Wednesday night and game six. And, you know, are you willing to bet on them in game six?
I'll give them game six, yeah. I'll take that one and then bet against them game seven.
So, and what do you think the line will be for game six? Is it going to be, again, like Clippers getting one or 1.5? Phoenix will still be favored in game six after the Clippers thumped their ass tonight. I would think maybe it's the Clippers minus one.
Yeah, I think it'll be closer to what we saw in that last game that they were in LA. I think it'll be a one-point game, maybe a pick 'em. Clippers, you know, slight favorites after the game that they put on today, now going home.
Can you believe this guy, Ty Lue, that he did this again? That they're down 3-1, and now here they are 3-2, and they're going home to try to even this thing up and force the seventh game? I know he's right about one thing. I hate to say it. You got to take it one quarter and one game at a time, but that's exactly what they got to do, and now they've done it. They've literally, tonight, every quarter they dominated, as far as I'm concerned, and now they go home with game six, and all they got to do is come out in the first quarter and play like they did tonight, literally just come out and win that first quarter, win the first half, and then win the game. Because they were up 7 at the half tonight, and they had a big lead early, dissipated. Big lead in the second, dissipated. Led by 7, Big lead down to two several times in the second half. Still up 14 right now. Kicking ass, taking names, beating their ass. Bottom line is, if they do the same, literally same thing they did tonight on Wednesday night, you're looking at game seven on Friday night. I mean, because all they got to do is play like they did. I know it's hard to, it's easier said than done. But if they go out and play like they did tonight, and Paul George has a game, because he had 40 tonight. I didn't think he'd even have, I didn't think he'd have 25, but he's got 41. And if they get that, if they get 30 from him, I think they win.
Yeah, he's been on fire for them. And you talked about, you know, even before Kawhi went down, you were pointing out how this guy, you know, when we're doing the radio show, every game has at least 20 points, 25 points. You know, he was
every night
perfect for Kawhi's compliment. Kawhi was doing his thing, and then Paul George was stepping up, which is something that, you know, has dogged him in previous years, previous playoffs like last year, you know, or in Oak City with Westbrook. You know, he had his issues in the playoffs at times, but he has been incredible this year and just picked up to a whole new level once Kawhi went down. And a lot of people, me included, once Kawhi went down, well, that's the end of them. They're going to choke at some point. And he just keeps carrying this team. And, you know, there was a nice one game from Terrence Mann. He had, you know, a couple games here there with Zubac. But him and Reggie Jackson, Reggie Jackson's been incredible too. They were just showing the stat before. I think it was like in 56 games in the regular season, he had like seven games over 20 points. In the playoffs of what, like 12, 14 games, whatever it is, he's had nine. So he has taken his game to a whole new level as well.
Did you know Zubac, he never even played tonight with his MCL. He had like a injury and he never even played. I don't know if you noticed that. He never played the whole game. He was out of the lineup. And that's their big. So they played without their big and they still kicked their ass. So they played without Kawhi Leonard and Zubac. Now Zubac had a 15-point, 16-rebound game in this series. And you don't have him in the lineup and you still beat their ass? That's amazing to me. I mean, and I don't believe for 1 minute that I really don't, that Kawhi Leonard's coming back. I think he's done for the year.
No, that's such a crock that they keep doing that, the game by game. Oh, he's out this game. He's out every game. Just come on, be honest with us. We know he ain't coming back.
Yeah, so who cares what they say? Because you just, you know it yourself. You don't need to have verification from the Clippers or from, you know, these reporters that cover the NBA on ESPN or whatever. I don't care what they say. I know that guy. He's not even at the game tonight. He didn't even go with him to Phoenix. Now all of a sudden he's going to show up on a white horse. Give me a break. But no Zubats, no Kawhi Leonard, and you still win with that small-ass lineup and short bench? That is crazy to me. It really is. I can't believe that they did it. Honestly, I got so schooled on this game tonight. It's not even funny. I never saw it coming. I thought Phoenix would wrap this up tonight, be done with it. But Jackson had 23. Morris had 22. How about Morris? He had 20 at the half and only had two the rest of the way. So he shot it in the first half completely. There were no bullets left in the chamber. And Cousins had 15. So Cousins was the big tonight, stepping in for Zubats, who didn't play. That's the answer to that. If Zubats doesn't play, then Boogie gets them burned. And then everybody else, you know, who I saw Saric in that game tonight for the Suns. I was looking at him. He was terrible. I saw him. He had four shots. I saw him miss three of the four shots. He was terrible.
Our goal is subtle,
but profound.
We want you,
Sporto,
to hold court at the company water cooler every Friday and Monday.
Get it?
That's the winning edge. All you gotta do is listen. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
So the Clippers shot like almost 55% from the floor tonight, and that's it. I don't care who you are. You shoot that well from the floor, it is over. And Paul George ended up just going off for 41 points. And then you get the 23 from Jackson and just a thunder dunk as well late in that game. Just a facial dunk. He went end to end and just lit it up with a tomahawk. And then Morris had 22, Cousins 15. And they just, you know, beat that ass. 116-102, Clippers win it. So now you got a game six on Wednesday night. And then tomorrow night, you're going to go back to the well with the Bucks and Hawks. And the Bucks are laying 6.5 in game four in Atlanta. And you saw what happened in that last game in Atlanta, 113-102. The Bucks rolled them. And then prior to that, they played them in Milwaukee and beat them 125-91. So who do you like tomorrow night in the Bucks-Hawks game, Moff?
I like the Bucks. I mean, I know the Hawks have played, you know, great all playoffs. I know that they gave them a tough game one. They really started to figure things out in game two. And if Middleton's going to come, you know, be actual big support for Giannis like he was in game three, going off of that 20 in the fourth quarter, they're not going to stop him. There are just too many mismatches. And if Trey's not at 100%, you're in deep trouble. I mean, there's no way you're going to stop them or keep up the scoring with them if he's not popping those threes. If he's, you know, foot's bruised, if he's hurt, and he's, you know, not getting that good jump and it's not getting the easy flow of his shot.
So I was, you know, we talked earlier about the baseball, and it was the Brewers and Cubs were tied at 4. And then all of a sudden I looked up and I saw that the Brewers were stomping the Cubs 11-4 in the bottom of the eighth, and they got runners on second and third with two outs, and they're still dealing. And then the other big game is the Dodgers leading the Giants 3-1 at Chavez Ravine in the top of the fifth inning there. Smith hit his 10th home run. I just saw that to make it 3-1. And then the Orioles and Astros are tied at 4s in the bottom of the eighth in Houston. Cardinals are up 7-1 on the Diamondbacks in the ninth. I actually had the Astros and the Cardinals on a parlay tonight. I need the Astros to do something in this game and win that game against the lowly Orioles. You got to be kidding me. I was more worried about the Cardinals-Diamondback game than I was the Astros-Orioles game. I mean, they're down in Houston. You got to win that game. Got to cash that ticket, son. The Rockies beat the Pirates 2-0. The Angels beat the Yankees 5-3. God, do the Yankees suck. I can't even... I mean, I'm just like laughing now. Ohtani pounded his hardest hit home run of the season. He hit another one, number 26 for Ohtani. A shot to deep right. He means business. Suarez over King.
You guys call that one, huh? You're like, yeah, he's playing in the Bronx. He's got to hit a home run at least one of the three games. First game, boom, home run.
Yeah, we had the prop. What was it at? Was it plus 190 or was it plus 210?
I think it was over 210. I think it was over the 200 mark.
And we didn't even have to do it with them winning. We just had to do it. Just him hitting it. And I said I was going to do it every game. So he hit one tonight. Do you do it again tomorrow? Does he hit another one tomorrow? Why not?
Who's pitching? Is it Cole? Because he gives up home runs left and right. Oh, no. He just pitched Sunday, right? So.
Yeah, he's not pitching tomorrow. It'll be even worse tomorrow.
You see that Bundy had to leave with heat stroke in the second inning after puking on the mound?
I did see him hurl, which was interesting. It was a lot like in the movies when a guy, you know, in the movies they always have, you know, or on TV they just have the person has a mouthful of like milkshake or liquid, and then they just hurl, and it's fake. It looked like he had like the Hollywood hurl. It was just liquid. He just was cranking out some action. And it looked to me like the same thing as watching like Law and Order SVU or something. And somebody hurls coming out of the building. You know what I mean? And I saw a good hurl in a show tonight I've been watching. Did you ever watch the old FX show? You watch a lot of FX shows, Mafia. We've watched a lot of FX shows. But did you ever watch the – it was back in the day. It was called The Bridge.
Bridge. It sounds familiar. I'd have to go look back and see if I have
it was like the story of this chick. She had like, you know, Tourette's or something, and she's like a homicide cop in El Paso, Texas, and it's a murder. They find the body half Spanish, half American, and they cut him in half, and they put him together on the bridge so that one half of the body was over the American side, the other half was over the Mexican side, and when they tried to pick up the body split in half because they had cut him in half. And it was that?
Yeah. I did see that one. Yes.
And then she's like a crazy cop, and then her partner's a Spanish cop from Juarez, and it's right. about this serial killer that is trying to get revenge on the Spanish cop. And it's really crazy. Did you ever see that? And I saw an episode today where the guy, he hurled all over after he saw one of the guys that got murdered. He had slept with her, with the guy's wife or girlfriend or something, and he hurled. So he hurled all over the crime scene. And she's like, "You're hurling on my crime scene." And then she's like, you remember, she's like really honest. She went to dinner at his house, and the wife is like, "You know, it's so nice to have you over for dinner." And she's like, "Your food's tasteless." She's like, because she's got like, I don't know what she's got, some kind of action going where she just is brutal. Do you remember the show? She went to the bar to pick up the guy. She's like, "Do you want to go have sex at my place?" The guy didn't even know her.
She has like no filter.
No filter. And then she's like, "I hate your food. It's tasteless." She's like, "You want to sleep on my couch? Because no one's sleeping on my couch. Your wife kicked you out because you slept with another woman." She tells her, "Right, here's your wallet that you left at Carol's house." And then the wife busted him. He's sleeping with this chick, and he left his wallet at her house. And she brings it to him. "Here's your wallet. I found it at Carol's." No filter, that chick. But why doesn't that happen to us back in the day, Mafia, where we're just in the bar having a beer and a hot chick comes up to us and just tells us to come home with him right now? Come home right now with me. I don't know you at all. I don't want to know you, but I need you to take care of me.
It's amazing how much that happens in Hollywood and TV like this. The chick that goes out with the pickup, you know, first guy she sees. I've been in many a bar. I've never had that happen.
Ever. No, but you could go and try to hit on a chick and get slapped.
Thankfully, I've avoided that as well. That's another one. You've always seen that in the TV movie, like the drink thrown in the face. Like, I've never seen any of that, like in real life. Some woman just slapping a guy because of what he said, or throwing a drink in his face.
You've never seen anyone get a drink thrown on him?
No, I mean, it costs too much out at bars. You're paying $15 for, a cocktail. You're not throwing that in someone's face.
I've seen people throw drinks on people.
That was the most, unbelievable thing to me with the Islanders when they won that game 6, the first game 7 against Tampa. These guys are throwing beers. I'm like, you're in overtime. They stopped selling after the second period. How do you still have that much beer left in your can? Or why are you wasting it? It was $15 for that can.
I think most of those things they whipped on the ice were actually, I know there were a lot of beers, but I think it was more water. Water bottles. And I saw it today in the Euros, they were throwing water bottles at the Spanish goalie was they were pelting him with water bottles. Like, they don't mess around over there, dude.
Those, how terrible those would that life has been if they lost that game after he put that old goal in.
I'm telling you. But that was a bad own goal, I'll give you that. I mean, it was really bad. So anyway, some of the other games, that Angel game. So Ohtani hit the home run, did it again. And it's like every night, I want to see what they had in terms of Judge 1-for-3, LeMahieu 1-for-4, Sanchez 0-for-4, Stanton 1-for-4 with an RBI. And I mean, it is unbelievable to me how the Yankees just keep losing. They get swept by the Red Sox, and now they're 2 games over 500. That's it. I mean, their season is going down the drain. The Red Sox won again. They beat the Royals 6-5. All they do is win. Phillies lose to the Reds 12-4. Nationals beat the Mets 8-4. Indians beat the Tigers 13-5. Cardinals 7-1 over the D-backs. I hit every single one of those games except the Angels. I bet on the Yankees. I hit the Rockies over the Pirates. Brewers are up 14-4 on the Cubs. I'm going to hit that game. That was my number two play. I still need that Astros win bad. And I'm going to lose the Giants, it looks like, unless they do something in the late innings. Anything's possible. The way these bullpens melt down, anything could happen there. They could come back. They're down 3-1. I've seen that happen 50 times already this year where somebody blows a lead in the ninth inning or whatever, eighth and ninth inning, blow the game. Because the Giants have been unbelievable all season. I mean, so much so that even, like, teams are in their own division are talking about them. Like, you know, the Dodgers have talked about how good the Giants, Kershaw even said it, how good they've been. The bottom line is that they lead them by 3.5 games. It'd be 2.5 tonight if the Dodgers win it. San Diego's 4.5 back. It's amazing. The Giants, and a lot of people think Gabe Kapler's the manager of the year. I just saw MLB Network. They think that he's manager of the year. And they're 26-11 at home and 24-16 away. They've won 8 of their last 10. All they do is win. Tonight they're losing, but they've been impressive. And now the Brewers are going to make it 6 in a row tonight by beating the Cubs. And you know who else is playing well is the Nationals. They beat your Mets tonight, and they've won 7 of 10, and they've been playing good ball lately, and they're back to 500. They're in second now. They passed, they're right, you know, they've passed the Phillies and Braves, and they're right knocking on the door with the Mets. And I'm assuming they play them again tomorrow. Oh, no, it's the Rays and Nationals tomorrow.
Yeah, I think this will make up for our previously canceled game.
There you go. Tomorrow it's Haney and Jameson shots of Tyone for the Yankees. So, I mean, I think I bet on Haney tomorrow and the Angels. The way the Yankees are losing every day, why wouldn't you just bet against them now? They lose every night. You know what's crazy is that Cashman stands behind Boone, says we're not changing anything. And we said today on Coast to Coast that they should fire both of them, Cashman and Boone. I mean, is it not the end of the road for this saga? This tale has got a bad ending. The last chapters of this book are not good. I mean, let's face facts. All they do is lose. They're 0-6 against the Red Sox. I mean, George Steinbrenner's turning in his grave, and his son Hal's such a wussy, he's afraid to fire either one of them. Such a badass. He just absolutely is a monster in the block.
I just want to feel my burger finger up.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
So tonight the Lightning kicked the Canadiens' ass. 5-1 in game one of the Stanley Cup Finals. They'll play again Wednesday night. 5-1. I mean, that's just total domination. You get the, Cernak, Gord, it's 2-0. Then you get the Chirac all 2-1. Canadians are in it. And then Kucherov twice, 3-4-1. And then Stamkos on the power play late at 18:50 of the third. I mean, they dominated them early in the third. They're up 2-1. You get a Kucherov goal to make it 3-1. Then Kucherov again from point 4-1. Stamkos power play goal from point and Kucherov. So point, assist on Stamkos, assist on Kucherov, and then assist on Cernak's goal. He had 3 points tonight. 9 goals in 9 games and 3 helpers tonight. Mafia, there is no way you can tell me that guy isn't the Conn Smythe. I mean, it's an entire playoff body of work, and this guy produces every single night of the week.
You have decent competition with Point, but, I mean, those two guys have just been doing everything for that team. I mean, there's no one else. I mean, even if they lose this series, you can make a great argument for those two guys, you know, being in competition for the Conn Smythe.
Who's that? I'm saying Point is the guy.
Oh, you're saying Point. Okay. I thought you were saying Kucherov, but yeah, Point has been incredible for them. He's been lighting it up. I mean, that guy.
He had 9 goals in 9 straight games. And then now he has 3 assists in game 1 of the Stanley Cup Finals. The guy has dominated every single game. It's crazy. All right. I'll see you tomorrow at 4 Eastern on Coast to Coast. Good night.